For an RCA that's like 20 years old or more. I'm sure it can, but it's not worth the $20. Hardly ever down here watching TV anyway. Now they got that big screen, you know, 52 HD.
Oh, upstairs?
Yeah, upstairs. It's the place to be, man.
Oh, you're too good.
Okay, welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, it's Ian and Mark. Mark will say hi when he takes a drag.
I'm busy committing suicide very, very slowly.
It makes you seem that much cooler.
It does.
Because the coolest people don't really care about being alive. They're not stressing it. They're not neurotic. You know why? Because they're calming their nerves with a cigarette. They're calming their frustration.
If I wasn't all those things, I wouldn't smoke.
Yeah, but no one has to know that. And everybody does, but nobody cares. You know, it's human nature.
Children
psychology.
Don't start smoking.
I hope children don't listen to this podcast, because it's... This one's going to be pretty serious, pretty mature. We're going to talk about some serious issues here.
About terrorizing.
About terrorizing and whatnot. First, let's get the... They call it housekeeping, so we'll call it housekeeping out of the way. This is the Futile Podcast. It's, it can be found as the blog...
Coast to Coast.
No, it's not...
Butter and Toast.
Butter and Toast. It's, at graniteseed.com/futilepodcast, spelled like pomegranate, sans the palm. So it's just granite seed. I thought that was a little funny play on words. That's my production studio.
Why not just talk about the rock?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the rock yet. We'll do a rock podcast. I've got that.
What is it with the granite countertops? I never understood that.
Well, the new look now for everything is like granite countertops... Or marble, or it's very minimal. It's stainless steel appliances and black like fixtures and stainless steel, you know, stuff. That's the big thing on all the
stainless
HD channels.
Still doing.
Stainless is still going. Wow. It's going to be going for a few years, and then it will probably turn into like the 50s. That'll be the next like throwback reaction against it. Is everything will be like these pastel colors and you know.
Technicolor's pretty sweet.
Technicolor's sweet, and that brings us straight into tonight's movie from director William Wilder.
Who named names? If we talk to Stan Grossman, he says it's pretty sweet.
Stan Grossman would definitely approve of
Technicolor.
The 7-Year Itch and Technicolor Glory with Marilyn Monroe. Now, I've been meaning to ask you this question because as we go through sitting there watching,
she makes my dick hard.
I'm not interested in that, but I was meaning to ask you. Wow, a little taken back there. Was this one of her first movies, or had she been at this for a while?
No, I think she'd been at this for a while, but I think that...
She's pretty good in this, I mean, because she has
really
to play
threw
ditzy.
Her into stardom.
Yeah. She had to kind of play the ditz.
She was already...
And be the ditz, I guess.
You know, I think she was born the same year as my grandfather. Maybe even a year or two before, so she would have been... Did we look up the year? I think it was 54, 55.
Yeah, something like that.
And so, yeah, she was in her 30s by this point.
Norma Jean.
Yeah.
Playing a 22-year-old convincingly enough, I guess, considering the woman playing the 31-year-old wife of the guy in said 7-Year Itch condition was supposed to be 31. She looked like she was in her, I don't know, whatever. It's the 50s. All bets are off. Everything is depraved. I mean, it's all about the whole movie is nothing but it's based on a play. It seems pretty obvious because it all kind of is just like characters talking and simple sets. Not simple sets per se. The set design in his apartment is pretty involved. There's, you know, pianos and drinking glasses and all kinds of the accoutrements of the period. Yeah, interesting movie. I don't know if this actor, the main actor, the 7-Year Itch guy, did too much.
Can we cut that out?
We can cut that out. I'm just saying, don't do the foot tap. It'll read on the podcast. Trying to be so cool, huh?
With the foot tap.
The foot tap.
It's pretty subconscious.
But yeah, it's a little tick, like the psychologist noticed.
I'm not saying I'm not sexually frustrated.
Well, was the tick supposed to be a sign of frustration or a sign of guilt, or what was
like
it?
Prerequisite to doing podcasting?
Being guilty or being sexually frustrated?
Both.
Well, here's the thing.
Is this us giving back?
I used to think, yes, we're going to give back now because we're going to talk about sexual frustration in the context of the 7-Year Itch, which I believe has some legitimate biochemical, neurochemical science behind it in terms of the 7 years of love that people have.
High school biology.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. It's like, you know, the brain chemistry that happens when two people find that most special of things, you know, true love, if you will. is only really going to kind of sustain itself in that intensity for about 7 years.
Create offspring and then you move on.
Yeah, create offspring and help kind of raise them, and then you're supposed to move on. So, of course, that means you have to have complementary interests and everything else. Everyone knows how to make a relationship last.
Or you just drink heavily.
Or you drink heavily because of the boredom, right? I always remember that in Traffic.
Speed freak.
I remember that in Traffic where Michael Douglas is like, I drink, I have two highballs when I get home from the office, so I won't kill myself because of the boredom.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't the little woman, like, screech off?
She's freaking out. She goes back to John Travolta because with the seeds being broken and everything, face-off style. Because it was the same woman. It was, what's her name? She was in a lot of movies in that.
And who was it?
I don't remember her name.
I don't either.
It's not important. Women actresses are not important, except for Norma Jean. Who apparently was the cat's meow back then. Talking like this. I'm just so dumb and idiot. I mean, I don't know. I guess that could work. It worked for me like maybe 30% of the time in this movie. I thought she was like attractive and I was like, oh, okay. I could get behind this and in front of it and then behind it again to close it out. But ultimately, I don't know. This is definitely a different time. But this movie is really, really innuendo heavy and pretty dark in some places for the 50s.
They had to.
Yeah, but it all, like, it's
and
not
like I said,
subtle.
It would have been, I think in the play there's a lot more about the guys living upstairs, too, but it was kind of funny that they just made a reference.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't delve into that one, which is
no, they
funny.
Don't. They leave the...
I think they're interior decorators.
The interior decorators on the third floor alone.
Them swinging bachelors.
I mean, I think one of my bigger
they
problems...
Poker all night.
With the movie... Well, that's not even a problem with the movie, yeah. Is there's really not that many characters. It's very much so a talky movie. It's almost like a...
It's like a play.
It's like a play. It's like a... Which is what it is, but... I don't know. I think...
Little Axelrod.
I expected something different from the movie. I wonder if Axelrod is related to the Axelrod that's like Obama's chief of staff now.
Could be.
Or not his chief of staff. I forget, but he was like his campaign manager. I don't know what he does now. Anyway, maybe he's just one of his chief counsel.
You going to talk about Wilder?
His caller wrote... Be naming names and all that?
Naming names.
I already said that. I don't really care anymore about that. I don't... There's nothing else. I mean, Wilder's done a variety of different kinds of movies and with a variety of quality, I would say. He was definitely a staple of that period.
You know, there's still just a certain amount of sadness, you know, realizing what happens with Norma Jean and how fucked up she was and
well, yeah,
drugs.
Yeah, it is.
And then, you know, the mystery surrounding her death and... And the affairs and the broken marriages and she always wanted kids and she never had any kids, which was probably just as well. But and I think she was from a broken home and
she had yeah, that is a weird situation. She must have been around for a pretty good length of time because she had two.
She was modeling during World War II, I believe.
But she had two pretty substantial marriages to the baseball player and then
right,
was it the baseball player then the playwright? Or was it the other way around? I would see her graduating up to a more intellectual type.
Arthur Miller, you know, I'm not sure. I think Arthur Miller might have been she had three husbands.
Oh, that would make sense. You got to have a starter husband.
She had the starter husband before
men,
she was famous.
We'll get into the sexual frustration thing here in a minute, but dudes, just listen, never be the first husband of a hot woman. It's just a bad idea because you know you're not going to last more than 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you know, there's some truth to that.
Though at the same time, if she goes south quickly, then maybe you got the best years, and what do you care, you know? So this scratch that first piece of advice coming from experts. These are two guys sages on the mount. I mean, maybe not, but I mean, she could have been a pretty solid actress. I mean, you know, continued to do good work for a long time. I think she would have definitely graduated out of that. I'm not really well versed in her filmography, to be honest. I want to say that she had done a few actual slightly serious roles at a certain point. Kind of like she was the one note gimmick, like a Jim Carrey sort of thing. That then eventually had done a couple of things where they were maybe a little more dramatic, or where she played more of a real character. It wasn't
I'm not
just
sure. I haven't really.
I feel like she did at least
enough.
One role like
I'm
that.
I'm sure that she wanted to.
Yeah, and that was probably. I mean, maybe the way she was treated and or ostracized and or whatever in Hollywood. I mean, it's like if you've got any kind of brain and then everyone
I don't
just,
think she got much respect.
Yeah, treats you because of the way you look, then
but
and then you play that up, you know.
Actress.
Well, no, I mean, in this film, I think she did a really good job. It takes a lot to play play that kind of ditzy type and do it in such a way that works. I mean, Billy Wilder is probably, you know, he's a great director, so that doesn't hurt. But she definitely had some good elements to her performance. I mean, we'll see what happens with other quote unquote hot actresses at the time. I think like maybe the new Marilyn Monroe is like Megan Fox from Transformers movies. Everyone thinks she's the hottest thing in the world. I could take her or leave her, but she has actually done a movie where she played like a ditzy actress that was, it was like that. It was called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People with Simon Pegg. It was all right, and she was all right in it. So who knows? Maybe she's the, maybe she
has Poison Ivy movies. They need to do like a fifth,
yes,
or a sixth one.
She would be the, in the remake I was talking about doing for this movie. The 7 Year Itch remake. I would cast. That. I said Scarlett Johansson would be good for, but I think now Megan Fox would be the one to do as the Marilyn Monroe. Now I'm trying to think about who would play the skeezy guy. I'm thinking Nick Cage. Just go with it. Yeah, like all 65 year old or whatever he is with
that.
A great wig, you know. Just caging it out. Just caging it out. Crazy Nick Cage being like 7 year itchified because of Megan Fox.
He's a little too crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, oh god, that would be awesome. Werner Herzog to direct it. It'd be like Port of Call, 7 year itch.
You'd have to have somebody like William H. Macy. I could see that.
Oh, but then since it's still based on a play, then you would have Mamet come in, and then it would be like a Mamet movie, and that's just not the right way. He'd be like, I'm going to get the drink. Let me get the drink again. I'm going to go get a drink. Okay, are you good? You got the drink? Okay, good. You know, and then there would be like a long con involved. It was just like, and Ricky Jay would show up at some point. And
Baldwin would have to have.
And Baldwin would come in, and he'd be like, I fucked 6 broads like this yesterday morning. What have you done?
You see this watch?
Uh-huh. You driving that Honda piece of shit outside, huh? The one with the duct tape window? Huh? Nice. Yeah, no, I mean, I could see doing a remake of it as being a pretty fun one. Yeah, this movie is definitely, like, worth seeing just because there's some stuff in it that's so strange. The character is completely not likable.
No, he really isn't.
He's super neurotic, but not like in a funny way.
Well, he's got a big imagination.
Yeah, he's got this crazy sort of imagination, but even from the get-go, he's already kind of loopy and losing it. He's already like got this whole, I'm not going to have a cigarette, I'm not going to drink. Apparently, there's this big exodus that happened, and we don't know about the historical accuracy of it, but they kind of explain it to you at the beginning, almost like as if it must not have been something that people other than people in Manhattan would know. But basically, you know, all the ad execs and publishing people and all the people from the big buildings in Manhattan in the summers, their wives and kids leave, and then they...
You think the wives would get hip.
They F around. Well, the wives probably were hip back then, but they were well taken care of, and so, you know, it is what it is. There wasn't a lot of options for women back then, you know? What were they going to do? Get divorced and try to live off of, like, a terrible alimony? Were they going to get the better attorney in the deal? Probably not. There's no prenups back then. Maybe there were, but, you know, who knows? Probably not that big a deal. I'm saying I feel for him getting screwed, taking it, coming and going.
What about Elizabeth Taylor? She dead.
What about Taylor?
That was, you know, the whole Richard Burton thing.
Yeah, they got married twice, right?
Right, so who went out on the lawyers on that one?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
That's a celebrity thing. That's different than just like regular people in the city. But, I mean, getting back to it, yeah, themes of the sexual frustration, the cigarette smoking, and the drinking that this guy did, and the poor diet, not really taking care of himself. He tried to at the very beginning, and then they kind of gave up on that. He goes to the vegetarian restaurant, and just kind of...
The nudism.
He ends up eating potato chips instead. Or not instead, but by the end, that's what he's doing. He's subsisting
on... Champagne and potatoes.
There's a stairway to nowhere that then becomes a stairway to a magical place, but that's a forbidden place for him.
The forbidden place.
Yeah, I mean... She was basically running a scheme on him to get free air conditioning. That was pretty clear, I think.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm just saying, for all the talk that this movie has, I guess it's all because of the themes and the subject matter that it's dealing with. Yes, it's an innuendo-ish way, but it's pretty out there. It's not too hard to read it or see it. It's not like your mind has to be straight in the gutter in order to get all the stuff they're talking about. It's right, but just the bold-faced discussions of infidelity among men is, I wouldn't say progressive, but it's kind of disconcerting almost. Like, wow, in the 50s even, it was a major movie that made money, presumably, and these guys are just talking about, you know.
I think cheating's always been around.
Yeah, it's always been around, but has it been talked about in, like, popular culture? especially in the 50s, when it was probably sort of a, like, and we don't talk about that. But this movie did. So that's probably why it's so big, because other than that, there's really not a lot to it. It's just a few different scenes of talking and some elements of humor, and it's got some funny stuff. It's kind of funny. It's kind of dark. But it ultimately kind of has, like, a wrapped-up happy ending that I think is maybe a little insincere to the themes.
I wish I knew what happened in the play. I don't think it was probably that wrapped up.
Maybe not. I mean, even in this, it's not exactly all that wrapped up. It's like, you know, the whole summer is still going to happen. He's going to go see his wife for 2 weeks and maybe lose his job because he just leaves. I don't know. I give this movie, it's my first time seeing it. I enjoyed watching it, but I have to admit that I did a lot more Mystery Science theatering of this movie than I probably should have. But I made some good jokes during the movie. You laughed a lot at the jokes I made, and that made it fun. I give it a... it's got a historical value. For historical value, I'll give it a 3 out of 5.
I'll give it a 3.5.
There you go. I mean, you know, see it once, and then you've seen it. It's pretty quick, yeah. And that guy is dead now, I think.
They're both dead.
They're both dead. Everyone in this movie's probably dead. You see movies that are old enough.
She died like in 62, I think.
Probably. So yeah, this is Futile Podcast. We're going to work on the sign out now. Don't forget, email us, futilepodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or other podcatchers, maybe, if we're there. If we're not, send us an email and tell us that we're not and we should be. And I mean, it's not that we're too cool for school. Sometimes we explain things, sometimes we don't. We did promise that we would talk more about, like, the problems of sexual frustration and healthier ways to deal with it. The guy never... See, they didn't have exercising back then. They didn't have internet.
Exercised.
They didn't have the internet. There's a lot of things that, like... I mean, really, if you look at... They didn't have cable TV. You look at what the guy had to look forward to when he got home from work. It kind of makes sense. It's like it's a hot day and you get home and there's no distraction really other than go out chasing, you know, chasing talent. Looking around, I guess. I mean, what is he going to do? Play the piano? Listen to jazz records?
Well, there was the famous...
get drunk?
Yeah, you get drunk. That's always a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, I don't know though. You have A1 grade A living above you that wants to come hang out with you all the time and lead you on constantly and run the big old CB and the CK and the CT. I don't know, whatever. I'm inventing terms.
The CB?
The cock block? She didn't really do that, I guess.
No, she wasn't cock blocking. Not really. CT.
Yeah. More of a CT for sure.
Well, she did like to run around naked a lot.
And allude to it and talk about it.
Yeah.
Which I guess women like to do. They always like to sort of say that. Women also like to tell you that they liked you years later or when they don't anymore. Like, yeah. It's like a passing fancy or something. Like, oh, yeah, I used to like you back in high school. It's like, okay, a lot of good that does me now. That doesn't do me any good right now. What can I do with that right now? Or can I cash that in? Has that gained interest? Can I collect dividends?
With you. What kind of dividends do you expect?
I don't know. Benefits and dividends.
Benefits
and dividends. What I write is introspective.
Is that like Monopoly now?
Yeah, it's like Monopoly money. I want to get a gyrocopter with all those benefits and dividends. And a monocle, like that crazy Freudian guy that was in the 7 Year Itch.
With the terrorizing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I used to sort of... actually buy all that crap with the sexual frustration where that, you know, like so much stuff is like, oh man, you're just sexually frustrated. You just need to, you know, have some sex and whatnot. But then I thought about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, people are always saying that's a sign of sexual frustration, you know, like taking a label off of a bottle of beer or something, like ripping it off, peeling it off. That's supposed to be a sign of sexual frustration. And then, I don't know, like smoking, maybe that's supposed to be a sign of sexual frustration, you know. A lot of these things, you know, cigar is just a cigar, you know. I'm peeling the label off because I'm obsessive compulsive, whatever. I'm smoking a cigarette because I like to smoke cigarettes because I'm addicted to nicotine and that, you know, nicotine does something to my brain. There's that. But even if that's not the case, the more you think about it, You know what else is a sign of sexual frustration?
What?
Having sex.
How's that?
Because, you know, it's something you're doing because you're frustrated, right? Because you're sexually frustrated. You're peeling the label off that because you're sexually frustrated. You're smoking that cigarette because you're sexually frustrated. You're banging that broad because you're sexually... like. So really, in the end, there's no escaping it. Once you hit puberty...
Is there a table involved?
Once you hit puberty, man, then that is the way it goes for a while. Which is why I do not understand the erectile dysfunction drug thing. It's kind of like at a certain point in time... You know, once my teeth have all fallen out, my hair's fallen out, and I'm all paunchy and all cracked up and hungover, and windsocking it and don't care, I'm going to be like, you know what, I'm just going to do my thing before I die. I'm just going to walk around and, you know, live my life, die on an airship somewhere. You know, I welcome not having sexual frustration in my life anymore. But you don't escape it. Until your body just can't handle it anymore. Eventually it burns out like everything else. But you don't just escape it by, you know, having sex.
No, I imagine not.
So that's the lesson to learn, people. Don't just go out and, like, you know, pick up some floozy because you think, man, I just need to do this and then I'll be right as rain for that meeting on Monday. It's like, no, you won't.
That's how you get the herb.
That's how you'll have, like, anxiety about the herp on top of other things and still be frustrated. You just gotta, you know, work on a ship in the bottle.
Ultimate STD.
You know, make a, you know, pregnancy.
Yep.
Nice.
No.
Oh, like little Ricky. You don't want a little Ricky in the oven. No. You'd have to come home too. Got the bear trap. That's what that would be.
The bear trap.
Trapped in that situation. Yeah. So that's the lesson to learn from this movie. The lesson from The 7-Year Itch is that you just, you know, you got to realize that it's part of life and you got to abide it. You got to suffer it or find a way around it. Find some healthy avenue with which to ventilate the frustrations of life.
I think they call that jerking off.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it is what it is. It's other things too. You can't just jerk off constantly.
No, you couldn't.
But you're gonna be frustrated if every time you got frustrated you could jerk off. That would, I mean, what a weird like concept for like a high concept comedy, like an Adam Sandler comedy, where there's like jerk off rooms in like buildings, and it's just accepted that that's something people will do all the time. I mean, that's probably what people do all the time now anyway. But like, if it were like part of the culture out in the open, where it's like, hey, what's up with Bob? You know, it's like, ah, Bob's on his jerk off break right now. He had a pretty frustrating morning, and so yeah, he's taking it easy, he's taking care of himself.
Boss, I gotta go.
Yeah, boss, I gotta go. What are you jerking off, Samson? Yeah, I'm jerking off. Okay, that's great, cool. go. It's fine.
See you in
15. Better make it 20. Okay, 20. But I'll dock your pay if it's anything longer. Just kidding. Go have you have a time.
They're gonna have like lotion dispensers in this
room. I don't know. They could play up on
visual
all that.
Visual aids
and lotion dispensers. And
ticklers.
Yeah. That would be a high concept. We throw that into the 7-Year Itch, and this guy is like, we're getting Brave New World style on it.
Why not just...
This guy, like, rejects that thing.
Why not just have a room full of hookers?
Ah, man. Because then it's like, what? Who's going to pay for the hookers? The company?
The company.
It's like part of the medical benefits.
They just have them on retainer.
They're on retainer. And they're lawyers, too, so it's like hooker/attorneys that are on retainer.
That'd be
so they can,
sweet.
Like... You can go talk to them and like can like give you an HJ while you're stressing your like audit.
So you get fucked both ways.
Yeah.
Wow.
But one way relieves and the other way stresses. It's a cycle. It's a snake eating its own tail. This is why it's not, you know, not okay. You gotta break the cycle, as they say. Get outside of that and just
have a tall boy.
I don't know. Some people drink to escape, some people smoke the weed, the ganja to escape.
Ganja.
There's other things.
Wow.
I mean, it's all about moderation, I think. You pick a few drugs, you try to be loyal, you try to, you know, do what you can. You try not to hurt anybody, and you try not to hurt yourself. That's why you avoid the, like, you know, going out to the bar and just banging some random person, because, you know, there's going to be drama. There's going to be Montel Williams and Maury Povich, Maury, and lie detector tests and everything else. I mean,
that's not cool.
Not cool. Not okay.
No.
And so, you know, you feel that 7-year itch coming on. You got to, like, think about your girl. Think about what you and brought you and her together, what keeps you together, and be, like, outside of the box on the whole situation. Think about the little death.
Isn't that called Little Billy?
Little Billy? You mean the baby? Mm-hmm. It's not always the kid. People are selfish these days. They got to actually have reasons that they want to be in a relationship. And I think that makes sense, too. That's the healthiest way. I mean, do you really want two parents that hate and resent each other?
That seems to be pretty common.
To be living around? Well, maybe it is, but that's... I'm trying to change that. One podcast listener at a time here on the Futile Podcast is going to go out there... Not saying don't get married. I'm saying just think about complementary interests. Think about what you really love about the person that, you know...
Think about Danny Trejo.
One person likes to wash the dishes. One person likes to dry the dishes. There you go. You're good to go. One person likes to dig holes. Another person
start likes to doing public service.
I'm doing life coaching right here. This is real deal. This is like I should be getting a tax break for this podcast right now.
Let's get to the Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo from what in this case? He's you know he's in the Expendables, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Is he a bad guy?
I don't know how he couldn't be. I kind of hope he's not.
Wow.
Danny Trejo is solid.
He is solid.
I was just watching the new Breaking Bad, and he's in it for a few minutes, and it pisses me off because he was in the last season, and things happened where it made it seem like he wasn't going to be in it anymore, and then he was in it again, and then it was like, oh yeah, he's not going to be in it anymore. And I was like, that sucks, because he's a great actor, you know? As like, I mean, for what he's doing, I mean, obviously, typecasting, whatever... But he's solid. I mean, he's a good guy.
He's solid.
I mean, he's like for real too. You know, I think he comes from all that stuff and was like, I'm done with all that crap. I don't want to be a gang guy anymore. Who knows what? What a world to live in, huh?
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, so say that's 7-year itch. See it, check it out, or just wait for the remake that I'm gonna make with Nicolas Cage and Megan Fox. Alec Baldwin will be the boss at the publishing company.
I could see that.
And the secretary will be someone that I actually find attractive in real life. Because I thought the secretary was a little more attractive in this movie. I like the brunettes with the glasses though. That's like a nerd thing with me, I guess. I mean, I'm not saying it's unique. It's all over the place. It's replete. It's passé even. I'll say that. But you know, I have to admit. The secretary fetish thing, maybe. I don't know. I should have it looked into. I should look
and
into
the nurse. Could be the nurse.
Oh, the nurse. I don't know. I don't know how I'd handle this whole situation. We'll think about it. We'll get back to you, listeners. Send us emails if you have any ideas for how this remake on 7-Year Itch that we're cooking up. We got a little broth right now, but it's gonna be a full soup by the time we're done.
Pussy in there.
Whoa, what's that from?
What the hell's her name? Oh shit, she had a reality TV show, and she sang
and had a reality TV show.
Yeah,
like Britney Spears. What do you mean?
No, similar.
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, Jessica Simpson.
No. I don't want Jessica Simpson.
Isn't that what's his name said?
Who?
Yeah, everybody got all pissed off.
Oh, John Mayer?
John Mayer.
John Mayer says a lot of things, apparently.
Apparently he did.
Oh, well. This is not the John Mayer cast. I'm sure there's one like that gets 4 to 7-fold as many listeners as we get. Though if you multiply anything by 0, it's still 0. Ow, wah, wah, wah.